Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Jane Berkey is interviewing Charlotte Reisenstein Rosenberg on January 20th, 1976. Tell me something first about your immediate family, your parents, your grandparents, and any brothers and sisters.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you want. I'm not sure exactly what you want to know. I mean, our relationship.
Well, let's start with your parents' names and grandparents' names.
All right, well, let's start with the grandparents. Let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
My mother's mother's name was Hannah Sandberg. She came to this country from Germany, from a place called Heckelshausen, when she was 4 years old. And she had two sisters. I don't think that she had any brothers. She came with her parents. She married a man who had been born in Pittsburgh by the name of Philip Silverman, one of nine children. They were married quite young. An interesting story I'll have to interpose here is that I always remember my grandmother with snow white hair. She was a very lovely looking woman, and she wore her hair in kind of a pompadour piled high on her head. And the story is that when my mother was born, her labor was so painful and so difficult for her that her hair turned snow white overnight. I've often wondered if this was really the case.
About what year would this be when your maternal grandmother came to the United States?
Oh, it would take me a lot of mathematics, and I'm not that fast at it that I could give it to you. I would guess it must have been about 100 years ago, or more. No, I would think maybe about 100 years ago, but I'm not really sure.
Somewhere in the second half end of the 19th century.
Yeah, yes. Oh, yes, because, yes. My father's family, my grandfather, Louis Reisenstein, was born in what is now, I believe, New York City, New Amsterdam. And he married a girl by the name of Frieda Loeb, who came from Marietta, Ohio. And it was always very interesting about these two families as I matured and realized what things were a little bit about. I found this fascinating. Even though they were all merchants. Both grandfathers were merchants. My mother's family had a dry goods store. And my father's family had a china store. And for some reason, and I never quite understood why, my father's family was supposedly more of society than was my mother's family. However, my mother's family was quite highly cultured, while, as I recall, my father's family, they were not particularly interested in the cultural things, in good music and in good art, etc. I always found it fascinating that even though they were in the china business, they actually owned very few fine paintings and fine art objects. Whereas my mother's family were much more interested in this sort of thing. My mother had a sister and a brother. Her sister never married. Her name was Babette. And she never married.
Pardon me, could you give me that again? How many sisters and brothers?
My mother had one sister and one brother. And Babette never married. She lived in Pittsburgh in the beginning of her life, in New York during the great bulk of her life, and died in Pittsburgh. Her brother was Alexander Silverman, who was quite a well-known chemist. And he was head of the chemistry department at the University of Pittsburgh for, oh, I don't know how many years, but many, many years. My mother was the youngest. And the story, the family story, is that when my father came originally to the Silverman household, it was not my mother he was coming to see, but it was Babette, her sister. And Babette was not particularly attractive, and my mother was a very beautiful girl. And my mother flew down the steps at one point very unexpectedly. And when my father saw her, he never took Babette out again.
Do you know the year of your mother's birth?
I would have to look it up. I would say around 1885 would be my guess. You know, I'm ashamed that I don't know these dates, but I must tell you about myself. You know, I'm an artist by profession, and I see things visually, and I have no head whatsoever for figures and correct memory of many things, so you'll have to excuse me if I flounder around on what should really be at my fingertips. I should say at my lips. My father had one sister and two brothers. And he was quite an interesting man. He was a very pecks bad boy from all the stories of his childhood. His mother was sickly most of his life, and he was more or less brought up by his sister, as were all the boys. And even though she was his contemporary, the youngest brother, Louis, was quite younger than all the others. But because of his mother's ill health, a housekeeper that they had for 50 years, and my aunt really sort of brought up the boys, and the boys teased her unmercifully.
What were the brothers' names and the sister's name?
The sister's name was Elrose. The youngest brother was Louis. And then Harry came next to Louis, and my father was the eldest. And my father's family just continued in the china and glass business. It had been started by my great-grandfather, who I presume was a peddler with oil lamps, etc. And he had a little store on what was the north side at that time, where his family lived. And then my grandfather continued that business, my father continued the business, and my brother continued the business until he sold it out about 10 years ago. I had one brother.
Do you know the year of your parents' marriage?
I believe that it was 1908. And it was a very fancy way. And something very interesting here while I'm talking about the families. My mother's brother, Alexander, married my father's sister, Elrose. So that there was a brother and a sister married to a brother and a sister. And they remained quite close all of their married lives, in spite of the usual family tensions occasionally. But they were really quite close and would come to each other's homes for dinners very frequently. So.
Tell me something about your homes, what they looked like.
Well, I have very different... you want to know about my grandparents' homes?
Whatever you want to recall for me.
Well, I can recall going to my grandmother's house, my father's mother's house and father's house. And it was very different from my other grandmother's house. Now, And in my recollection, first of all, when we went to my grandmother's house, we went every place on the streetcar until we got an automobile. And it was a very long trip because my grandmother and grandfather, Reisenstein, lived on the north side. And we lived in what is now known as Shadyside. In fact, we lived very close to where I lived for many years after I was married. It was a very big house. It was I guess in New York you would have called it a brownstone. It was in sort of a row, but kind of an elegant row. And one thing I remember so distinctly, at the head of the steps, which were very steep and very long, there was a china plaque with a head on it. And this head was painted, hand-painted, and it was sort of a family heirloom of some sort. And it was a painting of the head of an Oriental man in a turban. And supposedly his eyes followed you wherever you went. And I was, as a child, I was just petrified of this. But I really loved to go there because the housekeeper, whose name was Frieda also, we seem to have Friedas running in our family very frequently, was a marvelous cook. And we had always snowy white cloths on the table, you know, stiff white damask, and marvelous food. My grandfather, who made, I think, something like 35 or 40 trips to Europe during his lifetime, was a real gourmet. He didn't eat very much, but what he ate had to be just so. And the food was of the finest quality, and it was a real pleasure and joy to go there to eat.
How did these...
But let me tell you something, though. My grandmother always had just plain boiled rice and a little white meat of chicken, because she always made herself out to be sort of an invalid. I don't know whether she really was or whether this was part of the act. I don't know. Now, my other grandmother and grandfather lived in a large house in what is also is East End now, I suppose. It was on right near Negley Avenue, right near the Liberty School. It was a very big house with a beautiful garden, and they had a mulberry tree in the garden. And we always played ring around the mulberry tree, around that tree. At any rate, by the time I came along, my grandfather Silverman, who had done very well in the dry goods business, had very bad luck and had gone out of business. He had made big investments in oil wells and fields that just didn't exist, in gold mines that didn't exist. And by the time I came along, or the time I could remember, he was out of business. And he was working for a dry goods store in East Liberty by the name of McFarland's. And everybody in the family always, you know, felt so badly because Grandpa had to stand on his feet all day selling from bolts of material. This is what he did. He was a darling, darling man, a very sweet man. And my grandmother, in order to ease the turn of events, took in boarders into this big house. And so there were several people who lived there all the time and ate all their meals with the family. And I particularly detested one man who lived there because every time I went for dinner and they had chicken or turkey or any kind of poultry, he would say to me, "Oh, I know what parts you want. You want the wing because little girls like to fly away and get married." And this was very embarrassing to me at that stage. So I was quite a little girl. So the atmosphere was very different. My grandfather Reisenstein's house was much more luxurious than my grandfather Silverman's house. But then I recall they lost that house. My grandmother and grandfather lost that house.
The Silvermans.
And they had bad reverses. And the last house they lived in was very near Peabody High School. It was on Margretta Street. And it wasn't even a house. It was a little apartment in a house. And I remember how I loved to go there after school when I would walk up the steps and I could smell the pot roast coming down. It seems that my whole life is mixed up with odors of food. And I can still see my grandmother sitting before her dressing table. She had very long white hair. As I said before, her hair had turned white overnight, presumably. And she would sit before her dressing table. She was quite a vain woman, combing her hair and piling it high on her head. And strangely enough, at this period of my life, I don't really remember too much about my own family life. I think it's because my parents were very busy people. They were very, very socially inclined. And there were always a lot of china and glass salesmen coming in and out of town. These were quite sophisticated people. They were back and forth between Europe and New York and the United States and so forth. And we had loads and loads of company in our house. We always lived very high, as though we were extremely wealthy people, which we never were. We always had a man who drove a car. And this, I suppose, is at a little later state. We always had a man who drove. My father nor my mother ever drove. And my father and my mother always had breakfast served to them in their bedroom. And it was quite a performance. And this was just a ritual in the house. And we always had a cook and someone to drive. And the life was very, very busy. At this stage, we had a great deal of company. I have no memories, strange as this may seem, really none when I look back at the four of us sitting down and eating together. Either my mother and father were out, or we had a whole table full of people. I'm sure there must have been many times when the four of us just had dinner together, but I really and truly do not recall with any clarity this kind of family life.
The people who worked in your home at that time, were most of them Europeans who had recently arrived in the States? Were they Americans?
No, they were Americans. And then we had, a little later on, we had black help. And I do not recall, I only recall one girl that we ever had who was a German girl. But otherwise, we had girls who were country girls. They came from farms. And they would come very green, and my mother would instruct them and teach. My mother was a marvel. She wasn't such a great cook and so forth herself, but she was a wonderful instructor. And she would instruct them, and they would develop into fine cooks and so forth. And they would usually stay until they got married or go into a convent or whatever it was that their desire was. And in those days, of course, those were the days of great home cooking, you know, cakes and pies and the soups. And when I look back now, it just is amazing to me. I've always been heavy, but it's amazing that I haven't been heavier, because it would seem to me, when I think back on the dinners that we had and so forth, that each one should have weighed about 600 pounds. Our lifestyle is so different today.
Would you give me the year of your birth and also the year of your brother's birth?
I was born in 1911.
Now, what was the year of your brother's birth?
1914.
Do you know the date?
Yes, December 16th.
Okay, we've pretty well covered the atmosphere in your home and the style in which you lived and so forth. Tell me in general about a little bit about where Judaism fit into your home life, if it did, and somewhat about the community in which you lived. Let's take the community first.
All right. The community in which I lived as a child, I presume this is what you're asking
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the section of the city in which we lived was not heavily populated with Jews. And those Jews who did live in the area in which we lived, for the most part, were Reformed Jews. Now, we belong to Rosh Hashanah Temple. You're asking me about the Jewish community, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to Rosh Hashanah Temple. And our lives, our social lives, as children, were really greatly governed by the temple, because all of our extra activities took place there. We went to swimming lessons, we went to dancing classes, we went to gymnasium. I remember my big black bloomers, and we wore tennis shoes. And this was a very big part of our life. And we lived quite an active community life, because there were no such things as television and so forth. There wasn't even radio. And radio was just coming in. And so that if we wanted to do anything or see anything or be stimulated in any way, you looked for it. It wasn't right at your fingertips. We also did something else. My mother and I went to the YMCA, YWCA, YMWCA, which was downtown, which was quite a trip that we made. And we went every week swimming there.
This
was not a Jewish thing. Why we went there, I don't know. That's where we went. Maybe when I say swimming lessons, maybe at that time there was no pool at the temple. I guess there was not a pool at the temple, because my mother and I went swimming there. And it was a very nice outing. We would go every week there. And my brother and I both went to school in our neighborhood. There was no such thing at the temple then as Hebrew classes or anything like this. The only thing, as I recall it, the year before you were confirmed, you went to an extra session at the temple once a week, other than the regular day to go to Sunday school.
So there was Sunday school.
Oh, yes.
And you could go to Sunday school.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I was confirmed. And my brother was confirmed. And I gave the floral offering when I was confirmed, which was quite a tribute, I suppose. I mean, there were certain parts that were supposed to be, you know, more outstanding than those parts. And I was the social secretary of our confirmation class. And a lot of this was very painful for me, because I was always heavy. And at that point, the fact that I had to partake in a lot of these social things was very uncomfortable for me. But I guess on the whole, I had a pretty good time regardless of all of that. And then I went, you want to know about the school that I went to? Other than,
certainly. Did you go to public schools?
Yes, I went to public schools, and I went to, I started out at Liberty School. It's very funny, because I live in this whole area, I've lived all my life in this same area, even from my childhood up to today. Except for a very short period when I lived in Squirrel Hill. Otherwise, my whole life is centered around Shadyside and East Liberty. I went to the Liberty School, and then after a few years of kindergarten and first and second grade, we moved, and I went to Friendship School. And I went to Peabody High School. And of course, we walked to school. And we ate in the cafeteria, because it was too far to come home for lunch. We did not come home for lunch when we went to high school. It was too far. It was a long walk.
You mentioned as a young child that the streetcar was your main mode of transportation.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you recall the automobile coming in?
Well, I don't know just when this was, but I remember that a cousin of mine called up. His name was Charles Powdermaker. And he was the son of my father's aunt. And he had bought a Model T Ford. And he came and took us all for a ride. And it was, believe me, a very exciting event. And I have pictures of my mother with a big hat and a duster tied under her chin, and we all went for a ride in this Model T Ford. It was a very exciting thing. I think at that time I must have been like 8 years old or 10, I don't really know. We did not own a car until I was, I guess, about 12 or 13. And typical of my family, I must tell you that the first car we owned was a Duesenberg with a place up front for the chauffeur and stuff. It was very fancy. And there was a man who worked at our store who was the driver of that car, who drove us in that car. And we took many vacations in that car.
Although you mentioned that in your specific neighborhood there were not a large amount of Jewish families, what was the composite like when you moved out into your school life, into high school, into grade school?
There were also not very many Jewish families. We did not live in a Jewish area. I'll tell you who lived very near us, the Goldenson family. I'm sure you've heard of Dr. Goldenson, the great rabbi of Rosh Hashanah. He lived very near us, and his son was a very good friend of my brother's. They were always at each other's homes. And I had one good Jewish friend, or I really should say two, because they were sisters, the Heppner girls who lived down the street from us. But we were really quite alone as far as the Jewish community was concerned. And this was true in grade school and in high school. There was not a large Jewish community.
Did you find that a handicap?
It never disturbed me one way or the other. I never ran into anything unpleasant. I really never had, until I was a little older and when I went to New York to school, I had never had any anti-Semitic overtones to anything. I never felt left out. Of course, I went to public school. I didn't go to private school. I think had I gone to private school, I would have felt left out because I've heard of stories of girls who did go to private school. But I felt quite a part of everything and comfortable.
Tell me about some of the subjects that you took in school and, in general, what education was like in those days.
Well, I was never a very good pupil. I got very good grades. I graduated with high honor from high school, but I was really not a very good student. I had a great capacity for cramming the night before an exam and passing it with flying colors, and if you had given me the same exam 2 days later, I would have failed it, I'm sure. So that I'm not going to be able to give you a very accurate account what it was all like. In grade school, I'm sure we had the general reading, writing, and arithmetic that most children had in any grade school in those days. In high school, languages. It took several years of French. And Latin was compulsory, which I hated. And it was my worst subject. I could only get Latin and math were my worst subjects. I think I got a C+ in Latin, was the highest I could ever get in Latin. And I took a lot of art in high school, and I had a marvelous art teacher in high school. And I did very well in that. I did very well in English and in art. I really enjoyed writing. And we had a lot of composition, so. We had assemblies in high school where there were programs. And when I was through high school, I was made a member of the National Honor Society.
Is there anything that stands out in your mind as far as student behavior or classroom discipline or anything along that line?
No, I really can't say that there is. Everyone towed the line, I suppose. Now, and then those who didn't, must have memories I did not have, because I have not.